from NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Until 1983, the question of who's up or down in the college rankings to a lot of people meant who's better, Michigan State or Notre Dame, and if Oklahoma wins the Orange Bowl but UCLA loses the Rose Bowl, who's going to be number one? Well, nowadays, at least among college applicants and administrators, the rankings are as likely to mean, is Princeton going to stay on top, or will Harvard reclaim the lead? These are the highly publicized rankings issued annually by U.S. News and World Report. They began in 83, and a few years later they got a little bit more rigorous. These rankings are apparently taken very seriously by the institutions that are ranked, and they are now so established a feature of the competitive college application scene that they are criticized as if U.S. News rankings were a sort of public utility. The latest criticism comes from the Washington Monthly in an article written by Nicholas Thompson and Amy Graham. Amy Graham, who used to run the ranking system at U.S. News, is out of town, but Nicholas Thompson joins us. Mr. Thompson, how does U.S. News and World Report actually rank colleges and universities?
Well, they have a series of, I believe it's 16 categories, ranging from a reputation survey, which they send out to university presidents across the country, to more specific measures, such as the average faculty salary, to then somewhat more vague measures, such as graduation rate performance.
And what do you and Amy Graham think is wrong with that? Or what do the people whom you spoke to think is wrong with that?
Well, we think that those calculations and those numbers could make up part of a good ranking system. But we think that a ranking system that really purports to tell you what America's best colleges are should measure what happens on campus, should measure how much students learn, how much education goes on. And that's just not in the U.S. News rankings.
Well, how do you do that? It's one thing to measure the incoming SAT scores of a freshman class and give that a certain amount of weight, say, in how good a college is, and then measure faculty salaries or donations by alumni. How do you quantify how much students learn in college?
Well, you do the best you can, and you do things like you measure how much time do they spend with their faculty members, how much time do they spend talking to other students with differing political beliefs, things like that.
Colleges and universities take these things very, very seriously, how they rise or fall in the U.S. News rankings.
Oh, they take it extremely seriously. One good example, last year, Hobart and William Smith College, an administrator, didn't fill out the forms correctly or didn't send in the right forms, and suddenly she was fired because Hobart and William Smith dropped a little bit in the rankings.
The former editor of U.S. News and World Report, James Fallows, writes in another article coming out in Atlantic Monthly shortly that one effect of the rankings has been to increase the importance of SAT scores at universities, even as every year we hear from all sorts of college administrators talking about how the SAT scores really aren't that important.
That's absolutely true. U.S. News has, I believe, 16 categories, and every time they add a category, it makes that more important on college campuses. When they increase the percentage of the grade that came from SAT scores, suddenly SAT scores were a bigger factor in admissions processes. So what we're asking U.S. News to do is to measure learning and measure how much students are gaining on campus. And if you did that, then maybe colleges would spend more time focusing on how much their students actually learn.
There actually is one survey that you write about in your article that got a number of colleges to take part and contribute data in response to all of these other categories you've mentioned.
There is. It's called the National Survey of Student Engagement. It was actually started in response to U.S. News, a number of educators who said, my gosh, these rankings don't really make sense. Let's go out there and let's try to measure what actually happens on campus. And they're working with about 400 schools right now. They're not working with every school in the country, but they've developed a very good data set, and you can find some colleges that post their numbers online. And these data examined things such as how much time students spend doing their homework. And what was interesting is that the schools that came out on top in the U.S. News survey were not the same as the schools that came out on top on NESI's survey. Schools that came out on top for NESI were, I believe, Center College, Sweetbriar, Elon, and Beloit College in Wisconsin. They said these four schools did particularly well. These four schools did a great job of educating their students.
There's always a sneaking suspicion that the editors of such projects want to see the colleges that they attended fare well in such surveys. Is there any indication at all that there's any in-house bias toward institutions where the people at U.S. News got their diplomas?
Oh, that's absolutely certain. Amy Graham came on to run the rankings, and she said, wait a second, U.S. News seems to have put its thumb on the scale. There's one category where Caltech, MIT, and Johns Hopkins do a lot better than Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, and yet, hidden in the rankings, that category doesn't matter quite as much. So she changed it. She said every category should be measured the same way. And that was the one year that Caltech, where none of the U.S. News editors went, ended up number one. Then, last year, after Amy Graham left the magazine, they added a little logarithmic adjuster into that category, and presto, Princeton's back at number one.
Well, Nicholas Thompson, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me on the air today.
Nicholas Thompson and Amy Graham wrote the article, Broken Ranks, U.S. News' College Rankings Measure Everything But What Matters, they say. That's in the current issue of the Washington Monthly.